Alright, we got
this. This is the talking pointer.
I don't like you swinging that thing around.
Your turn. I'm not waiting for someone to give me a stick to talk.
A penis? That a penis?
Is that
what's up, guys? It's the awkward dreadhead.
You just wanted to say penis.
And we can have a lifestyle party.
Yeah.
I'm
definitely in for that. Jamal's in the house.
What's up?
He just tagged out Jessica. JJ's up in here.
Hola.
Pri is here.
Hey, y'all.
Chelsea's here.
Hey.
All right. I just hear in Jessica's head right now that she has FOMO. She does not want to be over there. She does not want to be over there right now.
She's typing out questions for us right now.
Writing into the podcast.
Right, she's
going to be a part of this podcast.
I'm going to get text in my phone.
All right.
Text it to Charles.
We still got a couple of topics. I'm going to jump in. Okay. Damn, everything had Jessica's name in it. Alright, here we go. This is going to have Jessica's name in it. Alright, I'm going to remain anonymous, but I'm so hoping you read my comment because I'd love to hear the women's answers. We listen to your podcast in our gender studies class sometimes.
Oh my god.
It's a terrible idea.
Oh my god, wait.
Why?
A teacher is allowing us to be... They're allowed to.
It's the university.
We are not a good. Yeah, but we're not a good reference for education.
They didn't say we're being used as role models. Fair.
This is what
unhinged looks like.
Okay. All right.
Jessica wants to know what school.
Okay. We listen to your podcast in our gender studies class sometimes, and when we have discussions about what was said, the girls in our class do respond with logic, reason, and common sense. But I do agree most women don't use logic in the highest degree, especially in social settings. Do you think, though, it's because women were raised differently than men, their expectations are different, or society feels women don't need to use reasoning at a high degree as men? I'm looking at JJ's face right now, and she is so aggravated.
I do have a question on top of that. Is it that an older generation wasn't raised the right way?
Okay, can I just... No, am I making the face? Because whenever someone says most women or most men, have you met 10 million people in the freaking world? Because if so, then you can claim most men or most women.
That's not fair. They're being general.
Stop being stupid and saying most. You don't know most people.
Well, how are you supposed to have a conversation if you're not going to be... You have to be general.
You can say the people that I have met. I've interacted with.
Okay. To be fair, most people don't travel.
I'm going to kick you.
All right, Pri, I'm going to start with you. Do you think, though, because women were raised different than men, their expectations are different, or society feels women does not need to use reasoning at a high degree
as
men?
That one's killing me.
I'm definitely going to go with the society one because, I mean, just speaking from personal experience, when a woman gets... Like, let's say that we're having a discussion, and I raise my voice. Like, I'm not yelling, but my voice, I start having, I have a very monotone voice, if you guys haven't noticed. If I start having inflection in my voice, some people of a certain gender will
You can't say
like,
some people, you have to say the people you
guys,
know.
No,
right?
Some versus most are two very different things.
Oh my gosh.
Guys tend to say, you're getting emotional. First of all, that is the quickest way to piss me off. And you're going to bring out a side of me that you don't want to see. Because I will go there with you. I guarantee I have time that day. But what I'm saying is, some men's default when they're having a discussion with a woman is to assume that we are getting emotional. If we are disagreeing and we our voice changes. That doesn't mean that we're getting emotional. We can still be being rational, reasonable, and logical.
Are you talking about a fight?
I'm talking about in a discussion. It doesn't have to be a fight. A regular discussion. If we're on opposite sides, if we're having a debate, that's not an argument, that's not a fight, we're having a debate, and my voice starts changing because I'm getting more passionate, I didn't change my viewpoint. It's not coming from an emotional place, but because historically women are seen as, oh, you're being hysterical, it's been inbred in our society, and I can only talk about American culture. I can't talk about anybody else's. But in American culture, women tend to be seen as more emotional beings. So even if we're coming from a place of logic and reason, depending on the way that we express it, it can still be seen as, oh, she's just being emotional. No, that's not the case. I'm just passionate about my belief. That doesn't mean I'm being emotional.
So that's kind of hard to combat, because like if you're in a relationship with someone, or this isn't a real relationship, like you're talking with someone, you're having a normal conversation, and the other person raises their voice.
That's what I said. We're not yelling.
Yeah, I don't know where emotion or logic or anything.
Because I'm a woman, and I'm seen as you're being don't be emotional. Why are you getting so worked up about this? Because I'm passionate about my beliefs.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, but go ahead, Chelsea. What about you?
I mean, I agree with what Pri just said. I do think it's a little bit that men and women just are different. I do think that, I will say, I think that the majority of women do react more emotionally to things. Not that that's a bad thing, because I think, I hate saying emotionally, because like it does seem like you're just erratic and can't comprehend things. Like, I can feel my emotions and process my thoughts and know what I'm saying just because I seem upset and I'm not talking in this, you know what I mean? Like, just because I get passionate about something, I'm not logical any longer. Like, I didn't lose my logic because I got passionate about a situation.
Okay. So I actually, now I think about it, when you say something like that, like a lot of men that I've talked to actually think that when women get hysterical or raise their voice or get emotional, that's when their logic goes out.
Yeah, they assume because you're passionate.
I've actually heard men say that before.
They like stop taking you seriously.
So you say that you've heard men say that. I've heard that too, but I've never been in a discussion with men and women where a woman starts getting passionate about something and a guy goes, oh, I think you're getting too emotional.
I 100% have.
All guys do it. Like, I'm not even going to say most guys do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say, I don't think it's as common now.
People are more emotionally aware now.
Yeah. Well, because it's also, I think what's changed is, like, people talk more about men's mental health and men going to therapy. It has been a bigger thing in the last few years. And I think that has truthfully helped with this because, I mean, men, I feel like men get just as emotional, but like women's comes out with more like emotion. And a lot of men, I think their emotions come out as like aggression or anger.
Mm-hmm.
We talk differently.
Yeah.
Like, agreed.
Women and men just naturally talk.
But society wise, would you say that the way you talk is what you'll like the way you talk is how.
I'm paused. Are you about to ask me that question?
Everyone.
You know what I'm going to say.
No. Not you particularly. I would never right. Individualize it for you, especially JJ. But particularly, like, I just know that if you're a woman and you're aggressive or you're highly masculine, like, I do know a lot of guys who will be like, you know, they'll stay away from you in certain degrees. Like it's good to have a masculine woman or an aggressive woman for some situations, but I don't know if that's something that you want to like date or whatever like that. Like a lot of men will go that way, because even if like for a man to raise their, oh, you know what, this is a good example. Me and Chelsea, the first apartment we had, two lesbian women are fighting upstairs. Nobody's calling the police.
It was bad.
Nobody's making a situation.
It's two women.
But if it's two, if it's a man and
but yeah,
a man
if and Charles woman, and I were doing it, yeah, we'd have cops at the door.
The cops are at the door.
I've got a better example for you. More relatable even. Sports. I grew up playing sports.
Like, yeah.
I grew up as an athlete. We, as women, would get in trouble if we yelled on the court. We would get a foul.
Oh, really?
I went to private school.
Oh, okay.
So. Wait, like,
wow, that's crazy.
Get in trouble.
We would get, like, the referee would foul us. They would penalize
us. Oh, like, at the other team, if you aren't mad or something.
Well, it doesn't even have to be at the other team. If we're, like, if I play volleyball. If I, like, I was trying to serve to a certain spot and I missed the spot or I got an ace, I'm happy. I'm great. The team is happy. And I'm like, yes. Or I'm like, fuck. Or, well, not fuck, because you're in high school. I'm like, crap, or something like that. You know, we would get in trouble.
Say that. If men
But if men do it,
yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Because
yeah,
that's seen as, oh, that's guys being guys. Mm-hmm. That's a huge difference because women are supposed to conduct themselves in a more calm, controlled manner.
I agree with you.
So when we don't, it's seen as it's a problem, but when men don't, it's like, oh, it's fine. It's just that's how guys are.
He's playing sports.
Right, he's playing sports. He's an athlete. He's supposed to be like that. And that's still prevalent today, as you see with the girls' basketball controversy that we had last season. Guys on the court do stuff all the time, pros and college and high school. It's not a problem. The minute a girl makes, you know, she was doing that, you can't see me, it became this whole big national thing.
Well, I think so. The media made it more about race than her doing that. You know what I mean? There was no big deal about her doing it.
Well, some of them had an issue when Caitlin was doing it. So it wasn't like...
Oh, they did. Oh,
yeah,
I didn't know that.
It started when she was doing it. They brought attention when she was doing it to people. And, like, you know, some people were like, oh, that's unsportsmanlike, that's unladylike. First of all, how are you going to call me unladylike if I'm playing a sport and I'm passionate about my sport? Like, if a guy is out here pushing each other, and that's okay, but I can't make a hand gesture that isn't derogatory, mind you. I can't make a hand gesture because that's seen as me conducting myself unladylike. Like, because society is so inbred in the fact that a woman is supposed to conduct herself a certain way. And when she steps outside of that box, then you open yourself up to criticism and critiquing as to, well, why is she doing this? Whereas a man is never going to have that unless he does something extreme.
Do you find yourself as an individual doing that to the opposite sex? Saying, oh, as a man, should you be doing that?
No.
You never find yourself...
When it comes to talking, how you're talking?
Anything.
Oh, well, no. Yeah, I definitely
exactly, do. Right? Definitely. So, like, because you're bringing up the whole gesture situation.
Yeah.
Like, there are things that men can do that people will say, oh, a man shouldn't do that. I'm pretty sure, like, you know, that happens. So, is it ever going to stop? Should it stop?
I don't think it will ever stop. I think some people just like to stir the pot, and they know that's what gets people worked up. I mean, it used to, like, way back in the day, it was hysteria, you know? And they used to send women to the doctor to get diddled, because they were suffering from hysteria. Then it was bicycle face.
Suffering from hysteria.
It was only a woman's problem, is what we were saying.
I do want to know, like, how do you feel about, and then we'll close it out, but, like, how do you feel about, like, people saying that women aren't really taught to use reason and logic?
It sounds like bullshit to me, but that's just, I was raised differently. Right, so
it's hard for JJ to answer this question, because I do agree with JJ.
Honestly,
you,
I was raised so differently.
I feel you're different.
There were no gender norms in my family. None. Like, women could do what men do. Men could do what women do. There were no gender norms. So, like, all of this stuff. Okay, I'll say it this way: when I went out into the real world, like, after high school and saw some of the things that were happening, I'm like, why can't this person do this? Why can't this person love this person? Why does it matter if there's this interracial relationship? Why does it matter if this person is friends with this person? Like, it was eye-opening for me because none of that exists in my family. None. So for me, the whole gender role thing, it's kind of like a wash because I'm like, I don't get it. I can do anything you want to do, right? It's vice versa. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't matter. right? But well, I was raised differently, well, so.
To a certain point, I mean, you're not gonna be like, if a dude wants to wear a dress, are you gonna?
I don't care.
So
if no, it makes him happy,
I mean dating wise.
So.
So you're gonna date a guy who wants to wear a dress every day.
If he wants to, cool. If that makes you happy, do it. Like, would I be less attracted to him? Potentially, but that's a sexual preference. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like,
so you'll date him but not have sex?
I don't know. I've never encountered the situation, so I don't know how he'd react, but like,
I know exactly how I would
chance.
Act.
She give him a chance.
I mean, yeah. Jamal has never had a penis in his mouth, but I'm pretty sure if he sees one coming towards it,
okay,
he's gonna swipe it away.
Yeah. So I have
he doesn't even know swipe it away.
He'll do more.
But bear in mind, there's also people who, quote unquote, by the American standards, wear dresses even though they're actually native to like someone's country, right?
Like
so,
a kilt?
Like a kilt could be considered a dress. A person who is from Africa who is wearing like what in America could be considered a dress. Who cares, right?
But men don't wear that out.
I don't know the terminology. Thank
I know
you.
What you're talking about, but men don't wear. Because my birthday used to do that. He doesn't wear that wrap out. He wears it only in the house.
There was someone who was at my work on Friday who was in full garb because he's from New Guinea, and I'd never seen him dressed that way, and it was really cool. And I actually complimented him, like, you look fantastic.
I'd love to see that. That's interesting. All right, I just happened to see this. It says, I'm sorry, but Charles, what makes a woman easier to sleep with based on her income? That just makes no sense to me.
Oh, I'm so mad that I understand what you're saying. Oh, I'm so sad.
Yeah, it's going to be annoying to listen to this explanation.
Well, first off, to all the women who feel they are big in the room, I want to apologize for what I'm about to say. But
Jesus.
It's kind of like, why are ugly women easier to sleep with? Why are, you know, bigger, fatter women easier to sleep with? Why? You know what I mean? Like, why? I just think it's a stupid question, to be completely honest with you.
Move on.
I think it's, yeah.
Don't answer the question.
They obviously don't get it. I wonder if this is coming from a guy or a girl.
Definitely a girl.
It has to be.
Pre, can you answer it? And also, Jessica, you're not in here. You're tagged out.
When you feel like someone has something, we're just going to use they said income-based, right?
Yeah, they said that I said that it makes that women who
like
have
lower income
are easier to sleep with.
Okay, so when you come from a certain demographic, and in this case,
Demographic?
Income.
Yeah.
Demographic is a group. So in this case, it's an income-based group.
Okay.
No, this has nothing to do about race or culture or anything like that. When you come from a certain economic group, you are more susceptible to someone, I don't want to say being bought because that sounds really harsh, but if you strip it down to the barest definition, it is, yes, you are viable. Now that doesn't mean that a monetary exchange is happening. It means that I'm doing more for you because you don't have. So, like, I'm buying you groceries, or I'm taking you a nice dinner, or, you know, I'm buying your kid a toy or something like that. To a woman who is financially able to take care of herself, that doesn't matter to her. She's not going to feel like that's a big thing. But to a woman who doesn't have money, it's going to feel like, oh, I need to make sure that he stays happy because he's doing for me. And you open yourself up to a certain power struggle, kind of, because you're more susceptible to, like I said, at the barest definition of it, being bought. You're not a prostitute, but
I also want to throw in there, though, that I remember dating this one girl. She had three kids, lived with her mom, and she lived on, I feel like it's the east side, but it's just a really desolate area. It just looked like, it didn't look ghetto, but it looked highly poor, you know. And I remember her being excited about going to Yogi's. Like Yogi's is just
doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, Yogi's is just a regular, like, it's just a bar. Like every other
maybe
place.
Maybe she was just excited to go
get out of the house without kids.
Right. Shit.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it didn't matter that it was.
I mean, there were multiple other situations where she was literally like just impressed about like the minor things. She was impressed. At the time, I had like that this Ford Explorer. And like it was like an old Ford Explorer, and she was just she was impressed that not only did I have it, that it started.
Like look at you describe the area that she lives in. That's her dating pool. So the guys that she's around, they're in the same situation that she's in. So you're coming and you're showing her something that
So why is it easier to date women with low income? Why is it easier to date women who I guess are unattractive? It's because they don't get any opportunities.
It's
at the base level of a building a relationship, you're trying to impress each other. So
her body.
Yeah. And if you have more to offer, then it's probably easier. It might be easier because it's socioeconomical, right?
Yeah. So I also think that's why there's so many interracial dating in Ohio, because there's like all the classes are kind of mixed in with the kids. In Georgia, it's not how it is. In Georgia,
it's not like that either.
Yeah, it's Georgia, white people, like middle class and higher class are over here. You know,
it's like the other side of the track.
Exactly. It's very, very different. You know,
there actually is an area in Columbus where like it's like a really shitty neighborhood and you literally cross the tracks.
Bexley?
And it's
all right we got two more of these topics. All right, you guys had an issue with parents dressing their kids in politically charged clothing. How do you feel about politically or social agendas being expressed in the classroom, not university, just high school? High school, even middle school, junior high?
High school, I feel like you're trying to figure yourself out. So a lot of people are going to wear some, like, crazy shit because they're trying to...
Not politically charged, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's what high school is.
Yeah.
No.
Are you talking about wearing it or are you talking about it being taught?
In the classroom.
So I think given the education and the facts about here are the different sides of things, here is what's going on, here's the knowledge of the voting coming up, here's the thing. Yeah, like I feel like the knowledge of it, obviously something you can learn. Maybe the students voicing their opinions can cause a little debate that might be helpful. But I don't think it's okay for a teacher to be standing there and saying, like giving their opinions. Like I don't think a teacher should be like, well, I'm Democratic, so here's what you all need to know and blah, 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 blah. Because that doesn't give a neutral point.
I agree with Chelsea.
Jamal, go ahead.
I think, do they even have social studies anymore?
Yeah.
They do.
They should. And there's, Jessica, what's the class that they used to have, but they don't have it anymore?
They don't have social studies?
Home ec?
Oh, home ec, yeah.
Home ec, they don't have.
Home ec is taken out.
Yeah,
it's not political science, but something along those lines.
It was something like that. Ethics.
I know what you're talking about, and I can't think of
civics?
That's in college.
No, this is a high school class where you basically talked about current events?
Yeah, it was current events, and like it was just showing. I mean, basically, we should have stuff in school that's.
Real world.
Yeah, bipartisan stuff explaining the basics
of both sides
of a number of stuff in our society, and have people form their own opinions, because whatever they learn in school, it doesn't really matter, because what they're learning in their house is what they grew up with. And unless they're exposed to other things in society, they're just gonna know what happens in their little world.
Mm-hmm. I think that that's why that's so important, because there are so many kids that you come from an extremist household. Like, I don't think extreme of any side is good. Like, you need to be more
extremist household.
Like, I mean, there are people that are like hardcore liberals that don't believe anything that has to do with religion should be discussed. Like, it's taboo. Or you have hardcore conservatives where it's like Bible thumping and you're going to hell if you go against us. And I don't think either of those should be thrown upon a child, like, because you're taking away their ability to form their own opinion. So if you get it in school and you're getting it in a neutral, you know, setting where other people who have come from different backgrounds can express themselves and you guys can talk about it, that's how you learn. Now, parents aren't probably going to be happy. Like, I mean, parents that are in the middle or are more so like, I want my child to be a free thinker, they're not going to have a problem with that.
Wait, are you okay with, like, sending out, like, a letter that says, like, hey, we're going to have these conversations? No. Why?
Because look at what happened with sex education. It's a whole big thing where parents are... In some schools, they don't teach sexual education.
So they barely have it anymore.
Because parents got in such an uproar about, oh my God, you're showing my child what a condom is. Well, somebody needs to.
That is showing Debbie Does Dallas.
Really?
That, no.
They did.
They used the banana and showed us how to put it on.
They cut out the sex parts.
But sex education, the way it has been in school, is more fear-mongering than education. Because I feel like when I was growing up, the whole condom and safe sex, but they, like, beat into us, like, oh, if you have sex, you could contract this array of diseases if you have sex. Like, they kept, like, saying, like, oh, this is what chlamydia looks like. And this
I think they need to know that.
Yeah, there's literally been a syphilis. There's been a syphilis outbreak in Columbus the last, like, 3 years.
Like, kids, I mean...
Like,
kids,
we should be talking about these things.
You should know about it, but they shouldn't say, like, oh, you shouldn't have sex because you're gonna have these diseases.
Oh, see, they didn't tell us that you shouldn't have sex. They just let us know, this is what happens if you aren't protected. Like, if you're gonna have sex... This is why you should use protection, and this is what's out there.
Our school, they definitely weren't like, here is how to protect yourself. Here is how to use a condom. They didn't do that. They were very much, very much like, here is what this disease looks like. Gotcha. You will have this disease. You will never not have, you know, the first time you have sex, you're going to get HIV.
I went to private school. We didn't get that.
I feel like I got a...
Get abstinence-only education.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I feel like that's not how it goes here, at least. Like, I got a really good, well-rounded sexual education. I feel like I was able to make, like, I knew how to be safe. I knew, like, that's wild. I feel like in Columbus, it's not that crazy.
I mean, to be fair, we only had one girl in my club. In fact, the entire 4 years that I was in my school, we only had two girls get pregnant.
Okay, so you know what I will say? I think they need to take it on.
A lot more girls in a lot of other schools got pregnant as teenagers in school. And for it to, the entire 4 years, I'm not just talking about in my class, I'm talking about in the whole school.
I remember a girl getting pregnant in our school. I remember saying to myself, that's not supposed to happen.
No, you know it's not supposed to happen. But nowadays, I don't know if they know that because it's kind of more normal.
I don't think so. No one got pregnant in our school.
Really?
Nope.
In Chicago, it's a thing.
All right, last word, nobody. All right, next. Don't get
do
mad.
Do better in school.
We got so far off of the original question on that one.
All right, don't get mad. I really hate to bring up mental health and therapy again, but because you talk about it so much, I hate to admit, but I agree with the host about therapy. Let's say you are a manager with an employee who just can't do their job properly, and constantly need supervision and constant training of the same thing over and over again. At what point do you fire this individual? If someone can't function in life and has to constantly go to therapy for answers, what is this person, when is this person just walking, just a walking red flag? I'm asking Lou, but anyone can answer. Hold on. Go ahead, Chelsea. Like, I'm trying to process this question, but go ahead, Chelsea.
Well, no, I want to answer because I was that person at one point. When I graduated cosmetology school and I was still with my ex, I was in a very deep depression, very, like, I had a lot of things going on. My anxiety was taking over. Well, I don't want to say that. I was allowing my mental things to take over because I did not at that point have the tools. Well, I did. I was like severely depressed and anxious and was relying on this relationship that was treating me terribly. And I quite literally got licensed, worked very hard to get myself to that point, and lost my first salon job, which was one of my favorite jobs I've ever had. I lost it because I was not reliable. I was not productive. I wasn't able to show up on time because all of my mental things were taking over my life. I physically like could not get it together to be a productive adult. And eventually they had to say, hey, listen, you can't be here. You've got these chances. You know, we've had these talks. Like, unfortunately, we need to fire you because you're not able to produce your job. Is it shitty? Yes. Right as this was happening, I had already started going to therapy. So I luckily was already in therapy, was able to go do the work and get myself turned around.
Wait, didn't you say that you've been in therapy for like as a kid?
No, I never went to therapy until I was an adult. Okay. I was an adult. Which I wish I went younger, to be honest with you. I might not have had this experience. But like, just to answer the question, there is a point. Like, you as an employer, like, unfortunately, you're running a business. So you have to have...
It's the person is trying to equate that with people going to therapy. So, like, if your boss has to always supervise you and help you function at work... Isn't it the same thing as a therapist has to always supervise you and make you and help you function to go through life?
Well, that's what I was going to say is that was a choice that I made. Like, you, if you are going to therapy, you need to, like, so many people think you go to therapy and talk for an hour and then you're healed and you can go home. Therapy is work that you have to put in. You have to put practices in your life to change your behaviors, to change the things that you were doing, to learn to see the signs of when you are going to have these mental things, to learn how to react. And if you are someone who's not going, like, therapy is not a forever, the rest of your life thing. It's not supposed to be. If you are not, I mean, some conditions people need to go, but if you are not a person who is going to put the work in for yourself and do your homework and actively try to change those things and get control of them, then you kind of, I mean, it's like really rude to say, but you might not be able to get out of it and you might need a babysitter and you might not do well in life or be where you want to be.
That's what I'm saying. It goes to the point that how long should someone be in therapy?
There's not like a time because it depends. Are you anxious right now and you need to go for a year to get your life together?
Okay.
Or do you have severe ADHD? No, listen.
Go ahead.
Can I finish my sentence? I was mid-sentence.
You've been talking, Chelsea. Let him go ahead and talk.
Oh, my God. I didn't even get to my point.
Chelsea, you've been sitting here talking for literally the past 5 minutes.
I understand, but I was trying to answer what you just said.
You made some great points. You explained it really well. That what therapy is and why people should go, and it's not just a thing that, like, you go and you're healed. You go there and you build on yourself. They give you the tools in your toolbox. But this person is trying to say, how long do we help somebody?
Do we allow this person to be in there?
Yeah.
Until they're
how long do we help them out at work before we're like, hey, this is too much. But
time out. I want to clarify. The work situation is just like the person trying to relate it to a therapist babysitting an individual for a long period of time. Meaning, if you're working,
they're not asking about therapy. Then they're asking about work, right?
No.
It sounds like they're
using the work as an example of, yes, like, if this employee shows up and never does anything, they get fired.
I thought they were using therapy as an example to ask about work.
No, they're trying to relate it, but this person clearly hasn't been to therapy because therapists don't babysit you. They also, some parent therapists can opt out to not see you if you're not going to be productive and do the work.
Gotcha. So, I mean, my point is still going towards where it was going. I mean, the whole rat race of life is kind of shitty. Like, we're all kind of in it together, and you can go to somebody and be like, hey, listen, man, you need to get your shit together. I've asked you to do these things, and if you continue to work like this, then I'm going to have to let you go. And then you just have to let them go. But it shouldn't be a thing where you have to have some kind of mentorship. You know, you have to guide somebody.
You're not talking about what you're talking.
I am. Okay, because this person, if you're seeing somebody at work that isn't getting their shit together, a lot of people would be like, man, this guy.
Again, like, that's it's not about the work thing.
It's about therapy.
How long does someone go to therapy before it's pointless and they're just...
You need more than therapy.
The person is using work as an example.
This person... Before I let him loose.
That's a person.
Or like, how long that can is, you...
How long is this person a walking red flag?
Until they decide themselves to, hey, I need to put this shit into action and change my life.
And if that shit is affecting you and you're not the person...
Yeah.
If that shit is affecting you... Then walk the fuck off. Yeah. It's not your problem.
It's not.
Because so,